rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be a safe, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me whole. Not the labor of my head can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no rest but know? Could my tears forever flow? These four things could not atone. Thou must save and thou cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me Savior or I die, wash me Savior or I die. I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise the world's unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, rock of ages, clap for me, let me hide myself, let me hide myself. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself. Let me hide myself. Let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself. Let me hide. Let me hide myself in thee.
Hey man, you may be seated. Thank you, team. Hiding doesn't sound very brave, does it? But as Team Jesus, we must understand and mature in the faith that, you know, we need Jesus Christ. We need Him desperately. Every day we need Him. We need His grace. You need His salvation to start with, and then you need His sweet Holy Spirit, and you need His Word, you need His presence, you need to be found in Christ. Day in, day out, every minute of the day, taking every thought captive to Christ. If you do not, there is an enemy in the world seeking to destroy, to kill, to steal, a roaring lion seeking to devour. And none of us are beyond falling if we take our eyes off of Christ, if we come out of hiding in Christ. But in Christ, we're not hidden from the world, but we're going to stand in the world. What we've been talking about in Philippians, standing for Christ. But you have to do it in Christ. So today, we're going to be looking at a verse in Philippians that is greatly misunderstood, abused at times. Can we really do all things through Christ? It's a famous verse. I'm sure many of you can quote it. But let's understand it today in context. Context is everything when it comes to the Bible. If you take a verse out of this Bible, out of context, you can make this Bible say all sorts of stuff. that it's not really saying, because you've taken verses out of context and you've changed the meaning. Cults start that way. False teachers do that. And people can get led astray. So today we're going to understand this famous verse, and we're going to keep it in context of what the chapter is actually talking about so we can understand it. So we're going to begin with Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Paul says, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Philippians, it's a good group of people, this Philippians church. They had supported Paul before and then were not able to do so, but now again they're able to do so and they're there to do it. And he's rejoicing that they care and are willing to look for every opportunity to help Paul, to further the gospel, to allow others to share and hear the gospel. Verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, when you look at the Apostle Paul's life, these words ring true, so true. He did not have it easy most of the time. Jesus even said, when he called Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul, he said, you must tell him how much things he will suffer for my namesake. It was God's plan to use Paul, and in that plan, Paul was going to end up suffering. All who want to live godly in this life will suffer persecution, will endure heartache and hardship. But Paul was willing to endure any hardship for the sake of the gospel. Let's just do a quick review of what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. Paul writes, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 40 stripes. This is with a whip. It can be a regular whip or maybe even a whip of a cat of 9 tails. But 40 stripes minus 1. What's the minus 1 all about? Well, if you go back into the law, which the Jews were under this time during Paul's life, Deuteronomy chapter 25, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence according to his guilt with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him and no more. So if someone has done something really bad, one of the judgments, they can be whipped, but not more than 40. You just couldn't go crazy on them. 40. And that's a lot. 40, no more. Now, the Jews never wanted to go against God legally, right? Their hearts were far from them, but they wanted to try to keep the letter of the law. So what they did is, well, we don't want to make a mistake in our counting, so let's always stop at 39. Then we know we haven't crossed the 40 threshold. And that's what Paul is referring to here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now, you know what? These are usually cane. And this can be even worse than a whip. This the beating with rods can... I know when I was younger and I was overseas and my dad, you know, wanted to make sure I didn't cause any sort of international incident. He made me, because I did one time almost, I had to almost flee to the U.S. Embassy, but that's another story. Not a good kid. But he had me read the story of another American youth that was in Singapore. Was it Singapore? Yeah, it was Singapore. You remember that? This kid did something bad when he was over in Singapore, this American student, and... he was issued caning His punishment was to be caned in public. And the caning was so bad is that I think he got 30. I think, I remember. I may get this mixed up, but he got 30 lashes. They gave him 10 at a time and put him in the hospital between each one. When he says, "I was beaten with rods," it's bad. "Once I was stoned." The Jews taking stones and throwing them at you till you were dead. A circle would gather around and they would stone you to death. It's recorded in the book of Acts, Acts 14. "Then Jews from Antioch, Iconium, came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." So stoning batters the body, and they weren't dumb back then. He must have been, if he wasn't dead, he was barely alive. Dragged him out of the city. Can you imagine what his body looked like, what his face looked like? Imagine being hit with stones all over your body. So you were basically dead. So out of that, when stones hit you, you no longer move or react to them. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. Now, many believe this is the point that maybe Paul was really dead. And he went up to see the third heaven. Remember Paul says, "I know a man that went up to this third heaven." Whether in spirit or was really there, he didn't know if he was really dead. Or it's probably happened right here. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. So 40 stripes minus one, beaten with rods, stoned. "Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." So his travels made him travel on ships sometimes, and just travel in that period was bad. Tried routes, the ships were not the best sometimes, and shipwrecked three times. Floating out in the water a night and a day. Verse 26. "In journeys often, he was on the go constantly." How tiring is that when you're traveling constantly? "In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, the Jews, who thought he had betrayed them and they were trying to kill him. In perils of the Gentiles, who did not want to hear his message. In perils in the city, going in places in some cities and in places of cities that were not good. In perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren." He didn't even have a safe place in some of the churches. Verse 27, "In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often." Have you ever had to be working sometime or been somewhere where you were just not getting a lot of sleep? And when you're physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, life is hard. "In hunger and in thirst." At times he didn't have enough food. "In fastings often." "In cold and nakedness." What does that mean? Well, we know of one prison that Paul was in, and it was common practice in some of these prisons to strip the prisoners down to nothing. They were naked inside their cells, chained. And we know of one cell that the prisoners were put in here, and they would be chained, and they'd be naked, they'd be chained in there, and they'd be chained hand and feet, and there was a ditch or a drainage canal inside that went through the prison, went through the jail cell, that the people were chained, were submersed in. This was the sewage of the city flowing out. And they were chained in there. Go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We have a lot to learn from Paul. Here we sit, air conditioning, which we are thankful for. Got the word up on the screen. We're not in fear of our government yet. So many, if things just don't go right, I've heard people over the years, well, you know, everything can be going good in the church, but one thing doesn't go their way. If this doesn't happen, or I can't have to deal with this, I'm out of here. Really? A lot of times, as a pastor, I think, you know, how much I've dealt with. If anyone has a, I'm out of here, it would be a pastor or a pastor's wife. You know how much stuff we have to deal with. But I've heard members here and other persons, I'm out of here if things don't go my way. Things get a little hard. I'm out of here. Look at Paul. Look what he has gone through and done. And here he is when he's writing this, he's in prison. He's willing to suffer and lay it all on the line, deal with the worst situations and the worst circumstances, all for the glory of his Lord and Savior, because he is thankful for what Christ has done. And if Christ says, you must be put into a cell naked, dipped in sewage, Paul says, so be it. What kind of love is that? See, Paul never forgot the death of Jesus Christ on his behalf. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself over the years. And I thought, Lord, I'm just done. And then I remember the Apostle Paul, all the disciples, what they went through. I remember what Christ went through. And I usually will fall to my knees and I'll ask God to forgive me. Why do we so easily complain about things? Why are we so ready to walk away when times get a little hard? Floyd has many sayings that we've heard from Floyd over the years. But one of them that he says, you know, and it's very true. Those who understand how much they've been forgiven, those who have been forgiven a lot, and we all have, but those who really understand how much they've been forgiven, they love much. When you don't really understand, or you think you don't have that much sin, then you love little. Paul loved a lot. With that understanding of what Paul is talking about, let us go to Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. But what does it mean in context? Because if you go online and listen to people, this verse means that basically as a believer, you can do anything and everything we set our minds to. As long as we say it, it's going to be in the name of Christ. I can start a new business. Or I can, I went online and I saw so many people using this verse to do, to claim that, you know, that they can do what they want and Christ is supposed to bless it. A lot of people abuse this verse. They try to use it and basically what they're trying to do is use God to get what they want. That God will bless and they can do it if they have enough faith. They can accomplish anything. And that's not what this verse is talking about. The context of this verse focuses on the God-given power to endure suffering, to endure hardship, to endure tough circumstances. That's what it's talking about. But it's all done in Christ. Go to the next slide, Levi. Through Christ, who strengthens me. The focus of this verse, the focus of chapter 4, has been to endure hard times. To rest on the strength of Christ. This is not a promise here. This verse, taken out of context, is not meant to be a promise that we have supernatural powers or that we'll be invincible or we'll be immune to life's challenges and we can do all things. Instead, the promise of Philippians 4:13 is that we have the strength from the Lord to faithfully endure the difficulties that arise in life in service to Him. The word strengthen here means to put power into a person. It's not power from yourself. It's power from God. And only, this verse only applies to those who are found in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Have you? If you died to self. It is no longer I who live. Life is no longer about you. And I know this is really hard for younger people because you have all your plans and things you want to do in your life. And that's fine to a certain extent. But have you, if you're a born-again believer, have you taken those plans to Christ? Is this what Christ is saying He wants you to do? We usually don't do that. Usually we say, we don't get that serious about our faith until we're adults. After I got my career, after I got my house, and I'm married with 2.5 kids, I got the dog, I got the nice cars, then maybe I'll ask God what He wants me to do. It's not what the Bible teaches. But again, how serious do we believe? Are we willing to believe to drop all our dreams? To drop everything to follow Christ? For most, that's too radical. Just give me a comfortable, safe Christianity. But that's not what these verses are talking about. It's not that you have your life and you just add Christ. No, you surrender your life and then you ask Christ what He wants to do with it. But most Christians don't go that far. And that's why they are basically called Christians, followers of Christ. But again, the Bible calls us to be disciples. It's radically different than Christians. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. You see, the life that God calls us to is not something we can plan out. It's not something we can actually do in our own strength. No, you're going to have to live by faith because God calls you out of your comfort zone. God calls you away from what you're used to. You're going to have to live by faith because it can be scary answering the call of Christ. This is why we do it. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 3. Paul says this, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." Do you see the working of God? It's the full Trinity working in you and through you. It's the power of God. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Christ dwelt the fullness of God, the Trinity, the Godhead, bodily. And now they want to do that bodily in you. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in me, or works in us. That's what Paul says. You know, if you really believe in the unfailing love of God, you really trust it, you know He loves you. And someone recently here told me they finally got to a point in their life, and this is awesome. They say, "I know God loves me." When you can understand that God truly loves you, He's not going to throw you to the side, and that this love is bigger and better than you could have ever imagined. When you understand how much God loves you, and it starts with understanding Christ died for you. But once you understand the love, then you can trust Him in any situation, any circumstance. No matter how bad, or how hard it may be. And this is where the strength of Christ will present itself, giving you the strength needed to endure, to persevere. So the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, upholding you abundantly above all that you can. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." But that's only when you step out in faith. When you're living life comfortable and safe, you don't rely on the Holy Spirit too much, do you? Step out of the comfort zone. You start answering the call of Christ. You're going to need that power. Because we're called to be witnesses in this world. That's not a small calling. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul taught that the believer will endure suffering and hard times. But it is possible to be content in the worst of times. Where we usually, and I've done this plenty of times, are sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves, having a pity party. We're missing out. We've taken our eyes off of Christ, what we have. We're no longer content just having Christ. Because either one, we don't realize, or we've conveniently forgotten, or we're just having a self-pity trip. We've conveniently forgotten what He's done for us and how much what we have in Him. Our happiness, our joy is no longer dependent upon Him. But our circumstances, and our circumstances may not always be pleasant. But through Christ, we can be content. We can have the strength to endure. You know that cell that I described being chained hand and foot and laid down in the sewage of the city? There's a good chance that that is the cell that Paul and Silas were singing praises unto God. Philippians 4, verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, healthy, sick, rich, poor, popular, unpopular, whatever state, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul's focus was not on worldly things, on abundance, on popularity, fame, power, materialism, whatever. His focus was on Christ. Can you be content with having nothing in this world? If everything you have was stripped away, could you be content and still trust and love the Lord? Is Jesus Christ enough for you? The whole world has been chasing for thousands of years material things, legacies, having your name up on some big building to be remembered in history, to make your mark, to live comfortably, to enjoy yourself. And all that, sometimes it's gain, sometimes it's not, but in the end, what does it matter if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? You think he's going to be content for all eternity? But in Christ, you can find contentment now, and you can find great contentment, joy for all eternity. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This context means you can endure all things. It's not that you can do all things. Not that you can go climb Mount Everest and get your name on. I can do all this through strength through Christ who strengthens me. I can go out and win this football game through Christ who strengthens me. You hear athletes say all that all the time. No, the context of this is I can deal with anything that comes up against me for the sake of Jesus Christ. Come on up, team. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's kind of a short and sweet little sermon, direct to the point, but it's a powerful point. It's powerful what your word says. Lord, let us, as your people, understand what Paul is saying, what all these verses are telling us. You are calling us out of our comfort zone. You are calling us out of our own will to do your will. And sometimes, Lord, those run parallel together. Sometimes they're 180 degrees out. Are we willing? Do we love you enough? Do we understand what we have in you and appreciate it enough to lay it all on the line for you? To do what you call us to be. To dedicate ourselves to sanctification, to being disciples, allowing you to change us, for us to become obedient, for us to guard what we have in you as a precious treasure, to guard our mind and our hearts that we may not sin against you, that we will honor you, that we will not fall back. And that no matter what happens, no matter how the enemy hits us, no matter how hard life gets, we will not curse you. As Job's wife famously is recorded in saying to Job as he suffered, just curse God and die. Let that never be our thought, Lord. Let this church, let us, be willing and ready to put it all on the line, to stand fast, no matter the cost, and whatever comes our way, to be content because we have you. And we can do all things through you who strengthens us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Why don't you guys stand up and let's sing this last song. Amen. Okay, folks, if you are a member or a faithful attender here, I'm going to give 2-3 minutes for people that are not or need to get out of here, go. The rest of you, I'm asking you to stay for a few minutes. We finished up a little early, so we have time. And I want to be able to talk to you guys about something. So we'll do about a 2-minute countdown. All right.